With no further delays, I would like to invite our guest speaker for tonight, Sayyid Haider Hassanain from the United Kingdom of Britannia, with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahil aliyyil azim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها على جميع نعمه كلها والصلاة والسلام على عبده المرتضى ورسوله المجتبى وحبيبه المصطفى الذي سماه في السماوات أحمدا وفي الأرض أبا القاسم محمدا. وعلى الأطيبين من آله البررة سيما يا حجة الله الباقية أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم وقوله الحق وهو أصدق القائلين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم.
For the hearts of Al-Hujjat ibn al-Hassan al-Askari, arwahuna lahu al-fidat, be pleased with us, and for the blessing of the shuhada of Islam to be present with us in this gathering with the loudest of your voices. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Dear teachers, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Noble Quran in Surah 3, Ayah 103, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. Hold on to the rope of Allah, all of you together, and do not be disunited. Meaning, do not disperse from around this rope. All of you come to this rope, O Ummah. All of you come to this rope and hold on to it and stay united while holding on to it. We often like to use this verse when bringing up discussions about unity, and that's a good thing. But the first thing we should do when faced with the verse of Quran is to try and understand what our Lord is saying, and then the next step. What is the rope of Allah? What's the meaning of Hablallah? What is the rope of Allah that the Lord of the heavens is commanding us all to hold onto it firmly, that which will cause unity amongst the Ummah and amongst humanity? What is that rope? There's a narration from Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam. He relates an incident that took place regarding his grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This narration is present in the book Al-Ghaybah of Nu'mani in Al-Bab al-Thani, the second chapter. It's related that Imam states, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ذات يوم جالسا ومعه أصحابه في المسجد. One day, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم was sitting with some of his companions in the masjid. فقال صلى الله عليه وآله, the Messenger said صلى الله عليه وآله to his companions, يطلع عليكم من هذا الباب رجل من أهل الجنة. Soon, a man will enter from this door. This man is from the people of paradise. It's a big statement for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi to say that about someone while they're still alive. Saying after he dies, he hasn't finished writing his test yet. But with the unseen knowledge the Messenger has sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he wants his companions to understand this man is something special. Why did he say that? It becomes clear in the following incident. So he continues, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi continues, when he enters, what will he do? He will ask a question. يَسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَعْنِي. He will ask a question that is something important. Because some people have the habit of asking unimportant questions. Asking for the sake of asking. No, he will ask a question of something which is very important. Something which is of a concern to him, which is relevant to him. What happened next? فَطَلَعَ رَجُلٌ طَوَالٌ يُشْبِهُ بِرَجَالِ مُضَرْ. A tall man entered from that door who resembled the men of Mudar. Mudar is the name of a tribe. فَتَقَدَّمْ. He came forward. فَسَلَّمَ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَجَلَسْ. He greeted the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and then he sat down. Faqal, and then he began speaking. Ya Rasul Allah, O Messenger of Allah, inni sami'tu Allah azza wa jal yaqul fima anzal. I have heard the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the noble Quran. Which verse? This part of this verse. Wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an wa la tafarraqu. How all of you hold on together to the rope of Allah and do not disperse from around this rope. فَمَا هَذَا الْحَبْلُ الَّذِي أَمَرَنَا اللَّهُ بِالْاِعْتِصَامِ بِهِ وَأَلَّا نَتَفَرَّقُ عَنْهِ. What is that rope of Allah which we have been commanded to hold on to firmly and not disperse from around this rope? Look, this was a question, that important question. فَأَتْرَقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَآلِهِ مَلِيَّ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he didn't answer him straight away. He was silent and he bowed his head a little bit. Then he raised his head once more. وَأَشَارَ بَيَدِهِ إِلَىٰ عَلِيِّ ابْنَ أَبِي طَالِبٍ. He raised his head, he pointed towards Ali ibn Abi Talib, وقال, and said, هَذَا حَبْلُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي مَنْ تَمَسَّكَ بِهِ عُصِمَ بِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَلَمْ يَضِلَّ بِهِ فِي آخِرَتِهِ. This is the rope of Allah, that whoever holds on to him will be protected in the dunya and will not go astray in the akhirah. What did this man do? What made this man a man of paradise? فَوَثَبَ الرَّجُلْ إِلَىٰ عَلِيٍّ فَاحْتَضَنَهُ مِنْ وَرَاءِ ظَهْرِهِ. He came to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam and he embraced him. وَهُوَ يَقُولُ. In that moment when he was embracing Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he was saying, اِعْتَصَمْتُ بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ وَحَبْلِ رَسُولِهِ. I've held on firmly to the rope of Allah and the rope of his messenger. ثُمَّ قَامَ فَوَلَّ وَخَرَجْ. Then he stood, returned and left. فَقَامَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. One of the people present, one of the companions said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Messenger of Allah, أَلْحِقْهُ فَأَسْأَلُهُ أَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرَ لِي. Shall I go after this man and ask him to do istighfar for me, considering he is a man of paradise? فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله, the messenger صلى الله عليه وآله said, إذا تجده موفقا, if you find him, then go ahead. So this man went, he found this man who just left the masjid. فسأله أن يستغفر الله له. He said, oh, servant of Allah, please pray for me. Do istighfar for me. Ask Allah to forgive my sins. Look at what this man says. It's incredible. فقال له, the man said to him, look at what he says. This is really incredible, really incredible. أفهمت ما قال لي رسول الله وما قلت له? Did you actually understand what just happened? Did you actually understand what I just said to the messenger and what he said to me? قال نعم. He said, yes, I understood. I saw what happened. قال, what had he asked him? Do istighfar for me. Look at what this man says. قال, he says, فَإِن كُنْتَ مُتَمَسِّكًا بِذَٰلِكَ الْحَبْلِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكَ وَإِلَّا فَلَا يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. Don't come and ask me to do istighfar for you. This is not the criterion. The criterion is holding on to that rope. He said, look, if you hold on to that rope, Allah will forgive you. And if you do not, Allah will not forgive you. Finished. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The Ahlul Bayt are the rope of Allah. It's only by gathering around this rope and holding on to this rope that unity can be achieved. The unity that Allah wants to be achieved. Otherwise, people were united in the imamah of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. What good is that unity? Now look at the imagery. Rope. Rope. It's very meaningful. You know, imagine a person has fallen into a very dark and dingy well. They're surrounded by darkness. It's been an entire day. They're just sitting there. They don't know what to do. They're bewildered. They're scared. They're cold. All of a sudden, someone throws a rope into this well. When that person holds on to this rope, it's not like me holding on to this right now. He holds on to it with his entire existence because he recognizes the only way I can be saved is this rope. It's my only chance to attain salvation. Nothing else can save me from the darkness of this well, from the loneliness of this well. Similarly, it's a metaphor. Spiritually, a believer, that is the relationship he has with the Imam of his time. You know, in that moment when that person in the well is holding that rope, do you think he's thinking about anything except that rope? Is he thinking, you know, I haven't eaten for 24 hours. I'm quite hungry right now. Maybe I'll hold on to the rope later. Is he thinking about what, you know, he used to do before falling into the well? He forgets everything. The second the rope comes down, he holds on to it with his entire being, his entire tawajjuh, his entire attentiveness is only towards that rope. That is how we are ordered to hold on to the Imam of every time. Because that's exactly what it is. The only thing that can save you is this rope. The believer's entire tawajjuh is towards this rope. Okay, we understood this. Question, am I like this? Really? I'm asking myself, and inshallah everyone here asks themselves, am I like this? Is this my relationship with the Imam of the time? That my entire existence is only revolving around him? My entire tawajjuh is only towards him? What does he want? How does he feel? Or no? We come, we celebrate the birth of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, we celebrate the birth of the A'imma, we celebrate the A'yad that we have in the year. the happy occasions. We go, we visit one another, we, you know, buy sweets. Very good, great. But did you think even one moment in that entire day about the imam of the time? Isn't that the whole point of remembering these occasions? Subhanallah al-Azim, how a person can be in such a deep ghafla. I'm celebrating the birth of the imam, but not once did I think, is the imam celebrating today? Is he happy today? What is he feeling today? What does he think of me today? There is an incredible narration from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. This is present in Al-Kafi, volume 4, Bab al-Nawadir. A very, very similar narration, almost exactly the same. Just a few words here and there are different. It's present in the book, Man la yahtaruha al-faqih, al-juz'u al-awwal, Bab al-salat wa hududaha, Bab al-salat al-aydain. The narration is the following. An Abdullah ibn Dinar, an Abi Ja'far alayhi salam. Abdullah ibn Dinar narrates from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam that the Imam stated the following: Ma min 'eedin lil muslimin adha wa la fitr illa wa huwa yujaddadu li ali Muhammadin fihi huzna. Allahu Akbar. Do you know what the Imam said? Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, it's related, he states, ruhi lahu al-fida. There is no Eid for the Muslims. No day of Eid goes by where the Muslims are celebrating, be that Eid al-Adha, be that Eid al-Fitr. Except that on that day, the pain and sorrow of the household of Rasulullah is renewed once more. The narrator was shocked. قلت ولما ذلك يا إمام الباقر, why is that? Why pain? It's a day of happiness, day of rejoicing. Everyone is happy. But you're in pain, why? And same, كلهم من نور واحد, they're all one light. Imam Sahib al-Zaman, same. The whole world is celebrating, we're celebrating. Congratulating one another, sending cards to one another, buying gifts to one another. Now, these are all good things, by the way. I'm not saying they're bad. That's not the point. The point is something else. You know, we have to deepen our ma'rifah of ourselves, of our Lord, of His representatives. This day, the whole ummah is celebrating, and the imam is in pain. His sorrow is renewed. Why? قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ, the imam said the following, لأنهم يرون حقهم في يد غيرهم. Do you know why every Eid that goes by only renews our pain and sadness? Because every Eid that goes by, we see that our right is in the hands of other than us. We often lose the plot. Our Islam becomes very ritualistic. The whole point of these occasions is to renew our allegiance to the Imam of the time. One step closer, bit more ma'rifah, more connection. But what is that haqq? What is that right that the Imam is speaking about? That's not in the hands of the Ahlul Bayt. It's in the hands of other than the Ahlul Bayt. It's been usurped from the Ahlul Bayt. Without a shadow of a doubt, part of that right is the right to political authority. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Noble Quran, this is Surah 7, Ayah 128. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Innal arda lillah yurithuha man yasha'u min ibadih wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen. The earth belongs to who? The earth belongs to Allah. He gives it as inheritance to whoever He wishes from His servants. And the end is for the people of taqwa. This earth is whose property? Who created this earth? It's very simple. Very, very simple. Our children understand this. Who created it? Allah. Who does it belong to? Only Allah. So who has the right to have authority over the affairs of this earth, the ones who Allah has chosen. Finished. So simple, so easy. Allah is the only one who decides what is done to his property. Allah is the only one who decides how this earth is to be governed, and Allah is the only one who has the right to make rules for the human being. This is part of our belief in Tawheed. And who did Allah choose to rule over this earth? Which human beings did he choose? In the Bihar al-Anwar wa Allama Majlisi rahmatullah alayh, in volume 43, Kitab al-Tariq Fatima wal-Hassan wal-Hussein, the following narration is present. It's related that at the marriage of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam with Fatima al-Zahra salawatullahi wa salamu alayha, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi stated the following words, Ya Ali, O Ali, إِنَّ اللَّهَ زَوَّجَكَ فَاطِمَةَ Allah has married you to Fatima al-Zahra. وَجَعَلَ صَدَاقَهَا الْأَرْضِ And Allah has chosen the sadaq, the mahr, the dowry of Fatima al-Zahra to be this earth. فَمَنْ مَشَى عَلَيْهَا مُبْغِضًا لَكْ مَشَى حَرَامًا So whosoever walks on this earth harboring hatred towards you walks in sin. Allah gave this earth to her father, to her husband, to her children. It's their property. Allah gave it to them, not to anyone else. It said that once Imam Musa ibn Ja'far Bab al-Hawa'ij alayhi salam, one of the Abbas al-Khulafa, perhaps it was Harun. You know, he was more political compared to some of the other Abbas al-Khulafa. He came to the Imam, he said, I want to return Fadak to you. This Fadak, this land that was taken from your mother, I want to give it back to you. This related, the Imam, paraphrasing, said something along the lines of, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to give back Fadak to us. He says, no, I'll give it back. In fact, I'll give you more than only that garden. Just tell me how much of it you want. What do you want from me? It's all going to be yours. I promise. Tell me. It's related, the Imam says, do you know the limits of Fadak? Do you know the boundaries of Fadak? He said, you tell me what the boundaries are. Whatever you say, it's yours. It's related, the Imam began saying the boundaries of Fadak. And the Khalifa was probably just staring at the Imam, speechless. Because he defined the boundaries of Fadak as the entire Muslim empire of that time. The Khalifa says to himself, but what's left for me? Some say it was in that moment he decided to poison the Imam. Meaning what? Meaning you think the dispute of Fadak was about a garden? Where are you? Fatima al-Zahra, astaghfirullah, ma'adullah, is so stingy regarding a garden with date palms. What does Fatima al-Zahra need a garden for? The earth belongs to her. Paradise belongs to her. It wasn't about a garden. It was about something else. The right to political authority that belongs only to this household and no one else. Again, in Ziyarat al-Jami' al-Kabira, one of the beautiful ways in which the Ahl Bayt are described as what? وَصَاسَةُ الْعِبَادِ You know, sasa and siyasa, politics, is from one root word. You are the ones who have the right to have political authority over mankind, over the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, it's very, very clear that one of the things that the rope of Allah that we are told to hold on to, that we should constantly be thinking about, how is he feeling? What does he want? What are his aims? What makes him happy? What makes him sad? One of the extremely important matters to this household, to this rope, is a matter of political authority. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. We have been promised by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and again, his purified household have repeated these promises, that sooner or later, this will take place. Yes? The earth will be given back to its rightful owner. The guided one, Al-Mahdi alayhi salam, will appear. What will he do? You've heard this statement 1,000 times. This hadith comes over again, comes up again and again and again. What does he do? How is he described? يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ قِسْطًا وَعَدْلًا كَمَا مُلِئَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا. He will appear and fill the entire earth with justice and equity, just as it was filled with oppression and tyranny. Allow me to read one narration where, again, this is present. The more narrations we hear, the more nur there is present in these gatherings. Because kalamukum nur, your words are light. Again, this narration is present in the book Al-Ghayba of An-Nu'mani, Al-Bab al-Rabi', the fourth chapter. An al-Adhmah ibn Nubata qal. The narrator says, Ataytu amir al-mu'minin aliyyan dhata yawm. I came to the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, one day. فَوَجَدْتُهُ مُفَكِّرًا. I saw him in a very contemplative state. He was thinking deeply about something. يَنْكُتُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He was thinking deeply and his gaze was fixed to the ground. You know, when you're lost in thought or you're very focused about something very, very close to your heart. Sometimes if someone's in front of you, you don't realize, right? You're just looking, gazing. Amir al-Mu'mineen was in such a condition. فَقُلْتُ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. I said, oh, commander of the faithful. تَنْكُتُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. You're looking and focusing on the earth. أَرَغْبَةً مِنْكَ فِيهَا. Is it because you have a desire towards it? فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. The Imam said, لا والله, by Allah, no. ما رغبت فيها ولا في الدنيا ساعة قط. Never did I have a desire towards this earth or the dunya even for a single moment, ever. ولكن فكري في مولود يكون من ذهري. Rather, I'm thinking of one of my descendants. Who will be born after me? Huwa al-Mahdi. He is the guided one. Alladhi yamla'uha qistan wa 'adla. Who will fill this same earth with justice and equity. Kama muli'at dhulman wa jawra. Just as it was filled with injustice and tyranny. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So this promise is true. It will happen sooner or later. And as the verse that I recited previously stated, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The Quran mentions it. The end will be for the people of taqwa. This is certain. There's no doubt in it. It's promised. It will happen sooner or later. The entire world will be filled with the fragrance of tawheed sooner or later. There won't be a single village in the middle of a desert or a jungle anywhere in the earth where at the time of prayer the words Allahu Akbar won't be heard. This is promised to us. This is promised. But when will that happen? This is where our decisions become so important. When the Sayyid mentioned our brothers and sisters in Yemen who have been watching their children die from what? Starvation. Yeah, bombs, everything. Okay, think about the starvation. They don't have food. For how many years now? you see these pictures of these babies, you know? You've all seen these huge eyes that pierce your soul. And you can see the rib cages, the tiny hands. No one's heart bleeds more for these children than the Imam of the time. More than their own parents, his heart is bleeding. How many more children of ours and the Imam's children, more important than anything else, how many more have to perish in this manner before this comes to an end? That's down to us. How much more oppression has to take place? That's down to us. The victory will happen at the hands of Sahib al-Zaman, isn't that correct? But his appearance, when will that take place? That's down to us. If we act well upon our responsibilities, it will be sooner. If we don't, it will be delayed, as has happened in the past. So, where will Sahib al-Zaman appear? Where was Imam Amir al-Mu'mini looking towards? At the heavens? No. At Mercury? No. Venus? No. At this earth. Right here. This planet, right? This event will take place on this planet. Which part of the earth will be filled with justice? All of it, right? Okay. So the believer, considering he sees his Imam to be Hablullah, his entire existence revolves around the Imam, what should he be thinking about night and day? What should he be looking at? One of the places he should be looking at is this earth. What's happening on this earth? What events are taking place on this earth? Are we getting closer? Are we getting further? Are we making progress? Are we digressing? And where am I in all of this chaos? This just comes naturally to a believer. And with this understanding that has been given to us by Allah through His beloved ones, through the Quran, through the narrations of Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam, this is where the Islamic revolution that took place in 1979 becomes so important. You see? It's part of a story, it's part of a puzzle, it's part of a bigger picture. And without a shadow of a doubt, this is so clear. What Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi did, you know, what was done by means of him on this earth, no one was able to do before. Does that mean that the spiritual status of Imam Khomeini is higher than the Ahlul Bayt? No, of course not. Of course not. It's a different discussion. The conditions weren't ready. The conditions weren't ripe. Isn't that the case? The conditions weren't ready. But this event is an extremely significant event if we look at it in this light. It's the first time, brothers and sisters, that Islam emerged as a global political power after centuries. Furthermore, it wasn't a version of Islam. This is so important. Yeah, we had the Ottoman Empire. As one person a long time ago said, I still remember till this day, a very good point. He said, do you know the reason that Islam entered Europe? Because Muslims went to Spain, right? Al-Andalus. They conquered Spain. And then what happened afterwards? It failed. He said, do you know the reason that Islam entered Europe and then came back? It didn't stay. It didn't continue. There's one reason. Because it wasn't the Islam of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. It wasn't the pure Islam Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi brought. Otherwise, who can taste the sweetness of this religion and then desire another in its place? No one. Unless they're, you know, working with Iblis knowingly. No one. But this Islam that emerged, it wasn't a version of Islam. It was the very Islam brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. The very Islam of the Quran, of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa sallam. It's so significant. It's not a small event. And if you look at the statements of Imam al-Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, during the days of the Islamic Revolution, during the sacred defense, Difa'i Muqaddas, he's not speaking only about Iran. He's speaking about the world. He's seeing this as the beginning of something much greater than it is today. This is where we have to see what role we will play. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the noble Quran, this is a warning to us and also a motivation. Now that we've understood this, alhamdulillah, I know the brothers and sisters, we've understood this. It's just, a reminder. You know all of these things already. I'm saying it for myself to be reminded. We have an opportunity today. Allah is giving us an opportunity to be part of this huge project and this huge change, which will lead towards the appearance of Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. What an honor for a believer. But if you don't take this opportunity, what will happen? In Surah 5, Ayah 54, Allah the Exalted says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو you who believe من يرتد منكم عن دينه, whoever turns back from his religion among you. فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَن يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Oh, you who believe, any one of you turns back from this way, from this path, from this deen, from this religion, then what will happen? You think Allah will suffer? You think his religion will suffer? No. Allah will bring a people who he loves and who love him in your place. Those who are humble towards the believers, who are harsh towards the enemies of Allah, those who struggle and do jihad in the way of Allah, who fear no one when it comes to Allah and their duty towards him, who don't fear the blame of any blamer in the way of Allah, that is Allah. Look at what Allah says. That is Allah's grace he gives to whoever he wishes, subhanAllah. A moment of ghafla, a person like myself starts thinking, what? I'm serving Islam. No. Allah's doing you a favor by allowing you to serve Islam. He doesn't need you. Islam doesn't need you. Doesn't need me. So if we want to play that role, there is, a lot of discussion to be had, and other brothers, other teachers are in a much better position. But just, one small part of this equation, one practical point, if we want to play that role, to be part of this mission, to be part of this ongoing revolution, which inshallah will lead to that ultimate revolution of justice at the hands of Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, you know what we need to do? There should be some resemblance between us and the leaders of this revolution. Not outward resemblance, inward resemblance. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi was a scholar of Islam. He was an expert of Islam. He was an alim. How much of this religion do I know? How many of the 15,000 plus narrations in Al-Kafi have I read? Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi was someone who at times he would open the Quran 8 times in one day, separate occasions. But me, considers myself a revolutionary, I'm too busy to open the Quran. More important things. Islam needs to be saved by me. Today, unfortunately, and I don't mean, you know, by these words, I don't mean anyone present in this gathering. I'm speaking to myself, but sadly you see it. You've all seen it. Maybe in Qom, maybe, I don't know, but definitely in other communities you've seen it. People think they're very revolutionary, but they're secular revolutionaries. Why? Because some people who think they're revolutionaries, who call themselves revolutionaries, or claim to be revolutionaries, they only follow the leader in politics. It's good, it's a good start. But ironically, you're just as secular as the people you don't like. Because you only see Imam Khomeini, Imam Khamenei as political leaders. What about everything they have to say about akhlaq? About other aspects of the religion? How can someone like myself claim to be a revolutionary, but my prayer doesn't give the scent of adab al-salah? My character doesn't give the scent of 40 hadith? Allow me to read something. This is one of the statements of Imam Khamenei, hafidhahullah, and he wasn't even speaking to Hawza students. He was speaking to some university professors, teachers, and students. What's he saying to them? This is in 2008, he said this. He says, create a connection between yourself and Allah, the Exalted. How? By means of prayer, recommended prayers, nawafil, reciting Quran, dua, as-sahifat as-sajjadiyah. This isn't even for Hausa students. So what he wants from normal students, normal, quote-unquote normal students. This Sahifa Sajjadiyah is filled with ma'arif of the religion. By means of this, strengthen your religious and revolutionary foundation. Sometimes some people like myself, maybe we think we're revolutionary. We don't see a connection between Sahifa and being revolutionary. But Imam Khamenei sees a very, very clear connection. If a person truly follows the Quran and the Ahl al-Bayt, they cannot not be a revolutionary. I'd like to end with an exercise. And I don't want anyone to, you know, tell me the answer to this question. But just for ourselves, you know, everyone to themselves, inshallah. I'd like you to imagine that you're stranded on an island. Okay? You're all alone on that island, but somehow the basic needs you have as a human being, they're covered, okay? You have a roof over your head, you have some kind of, you know, sustenance, food, you're not gonna die. It's not the nice food, it's not biryani or something, but, you know, some kind of food, you can survive, you have water, you have some clothing, okay? So your basic needs are met, but only your basic needs. No phone, no laptop, no internet, no family, no friends, nothing else, okay? You're on that island, you've been there for a week, surviving. Now, someone happens to come and knock on your door. You open the door and you're so happy there's another human being there. This person says, look, you have a chance to contact one of your family members and have a few items of your choice sent over to you while you're stranded on this island. Okay? Bayni wa bayn Allah, between myself and God Almighty, what would I ask for? Some people, maybe their phone, of course, to be in touch with people. You can only choose a few. Not too many. Phone, laptop, pictures of my kids, picture of my spouse maybe, a certain album I have that's very dear, close to my heart, maybe my favorite cereal or chocolate bar. Okay? Whatever the answer is, bayni wa bayna Allah, keep that in mind. Now, when Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, was exiled to Turkey, he didn't know how long he was going to be there. He had a chance to write a letter to his son, Sayyid Mustafa. In that letter, he asked for a few things. Do you know the first thing he asked for? Bear in mind, Turkey is a Muslim country. The Quran was available. Okay? First thing he asked for, send for me Mafatih al-Jinan. The second thing he asked for, send for me As-Sahif wa As-Sajjadi. And the third thing he asked for, send for me, and this may shock some of you, as maybe it shocked me as well, like embarrassing myself too much, send for me the Makasib of Shaykh al-A'zam. Inshallah, we can more and more, day by day, try to resemble these great men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who are true revolutionaries, meaning true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, exactly as He wants us to be. If you allow me, now it's the birth of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, but considering it's Laylatul Jumu'ah, and what pleases the Ahl Bayt more than remembering their grandfather Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, let me give a short salam to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Take our hearts to Karbala for a few moments, inshallah. We begin the blessed month of Rajab with the master of Tawheed, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, salawatullahi salamu alayhi. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba ya Abdullah ya. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah ya. Sallallahu alayka ya 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 Aba Abdullah. أيها العطشان بشاطئ الفرايات. On nights just like these, Fatima looks over the plains of Nainawa, a land where her petals were scattered, seeking the flower of Mustafa, seeking the flower of Mustafa. Is this the land where my rose was slain? I heard he was thirsty and in pain. What patience he showed till his last breath, even the angels could not explain. In Ziyarat al-Nahya, it's related, Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam addresses his beloved in the following manner. La ilaha illallah. قَدْ عَجِبَتْ مِنْ صَبْرِكَ مَلَائِكَةُ السَّمَاءِ. The angels in the heavens were astounded and bewildered at your patience. Ya Imam al-Baqir, inshallah one day we have the tawfiq to build a shrine for you with our own hearts after this filth is removed from those blessed lands. But even Imam al-Baqir, with his lonely grave in Baqi, cries upon the loneliness of Abu Abdullah. La ilaha illallah. What patience was that? There were many moments on the day of Ashura when Abu Abdullah showed patience, many moments. When he saw his nephew Qasim ibn al-Hasan standing before him, when he looked into his eyes, maybe he saw the reflection of his brother Imam al-Hasan. Ya Amma, let me go. It was very difficult for Abu Abdullah. He was patient. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. When Ali ibn al-Akbar called from the battlefield, Ya Abata, alayka minni salam. Abu Abdullah was patient. Allah knows better what moment that was that called heavenly angels to be bewildered. But there is one part of the maqtal where it's as if the condition of Abu Abdullah is very different. I don't dare say that the patience of Abu Abdullah ever finished. No, never. But this moment was very difficult. La ilaha illallah, which moment was that? There's only one moment it's related, he called out, Alana in kasara dhahri. Now my back has been broken. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Ayatullah Qadi rahmatullah alayku, Zaban Fadl al-Abbas, the Ka'batul Awliya. The Awliya Allah do tawaf around him, they seek Allah's closeness through him. Ruhi laka al-fida, ya bab al-hawaj. I don't know when that beloved brother reached the side of his brother. Was it too late? Had the soul of Abu Fadl already fluttered away? Allah knows better. But sometimes I do wonder, my heart sometimes wonders, if Abu Abdullah alayhi salam reached the side of his brother before Malak al-Maut, then what conversation would have taken place between them? Ya Abu Fadl, where are your arms? La ilaha illallah. They say, you know, it's obvious, it's clear, even a child understands this. When you know, when you fall from a height upon the floor, upon the ground, you know you're going to fall. The first thing you do is you put out your arms, you put out your hands to break that fall. But la ilaha illallah, Abul Fadl al-Abbas had no hands to put out before him. I wonder if his soul was still present within his blessed body in that moment when his brother came upon him. This loyal one, the meaning of loyalty. In fact, loyalty is a shame before Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. What does he feel? What does he want to say? He wants to stand and kiss the hands of his brother, but how can he? La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. I feel embarrassed to face you, ya akha, oh brother. I feel embarrassed to face you. I have no arms to embrace you. I have no arms to embrace you.
I have no hours to embrace you. Let's join the angels in Bayn al-Haram. Ayatullah Bahjat Rahmatullah alayhi said, wherever there is a gathering of roses for Abi Abdullah, right there is the Haram of Abi Abdullah. Ya Abu Father, grant us entry into the month of Rajab. Let's place our hands in our hearts and join the angels as they give salam to our Master tonight. As-salamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn wa ala awlad al-Husayn wa ala ashab al-Husayn وعلى أبي الفضل العباس حامل لواء الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك عظيم الأعظم العز الجل الأكرم بأبي الفضل العباس حامل لواء الحسين. استجب دعواتنا يا الله 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 يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج والعافية والنصر واجعلنا من أحسن شيعته وأنصاره ومحبيه والمستشهدين بين يديه. والله illuminate our visions by the beloved and beautiful face of Imam Sahib Zaman, ya Allah. Oh Allah, make his blessed heart please with every one of us, ya Allah. Oh Allah, make us to be the butterflies that do tawaf around him day and night, ya Allah. Oh Allah, grant us shahada while defending him, ya Allah. Oh Allah, grant us the blessing of Imam al-Baqir, ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive us our sins, ya Allah. Forgive our parents. Forgive all those who have a right upon us, our teachers, and all the believers, ya Allah. Oh Allah, make our hearts ready for this blessed month and the months that follow, ya Allah. Oh Allah, return the evil of the oppressors, your enemies, back towards them, ya Allah. Oh Allah, grant victory to Islam and the believers, ya Allah. Oh Allah, protect and preserve our beloved leader, ya Allah. Oh Allah, heal all those who are sick, ya Allah. Oh Allah, bring close all those who are distant, ya Allah. Oh Allah, you are just as we love you to be. Make us just as you love us to be, ya Allah. Oh Allah, grant every one of us and all the believers all of their wishes, and to the extent of your kindness and generosity, ya Allah. Bin Nabi wa Alih wa bin Shuhada wa bin Fatihati ma'as Salawat.